from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go. Once again, live from Chiefs training camp, Cody and Gold. Day number two for us at camp. Off day tomorrow for the Chiefs, and we will let you know what we've seen so far in the first hour of practice. Should be one of the longer practices to this point. No pads still. Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. What's going on, Cody?
I'm feeling good, other than this wasp is back.
Oh, this apparently again going to already?
Be, apparently going to be a camp-long issue. I'm going to kill it with my shoe. I'm not even kidding.
Do it. Do it. Don't ruin your camera, the camera and computer.
Come back. All right, I got to leave the shoe off for a little bit. It flew away for just a second, but I am going to kill it with my shoe. I've decided that this wasp has to die. He doesn't deserve to live
just
based
make sure
on
you
his
don't
constant
miss.
Pestering.
He's gone. He's gone. He's gone.
He's gone. And my shoe's already off now. Now I got to put my shoe back on. All right. Well, if time comes or push comes to shove,
keep
later,
your
I'll
shoes
figure
on,
that
please.
Out.
You know?
That has not been the main observation of camp. Xavier Worthy still not here. That stands out. Kadarius Tony
days.
Keeps getting a whole bunch of handoffs. It seems like at running back. And maybe we underplayed that goal. Do you think that maybe instead of just, hey, this is a way Kadarius Tony stays on the roster, they should just make him running back three? Is that
well,
weird?
Well, I think that's
just make him running back three. What's the harm in it?
I think that's a potential option if they don't like what they see from the third running back. Let's remember, they're not very often going to have three running backs active on a game day roster anyway. So is this your way to have some more positional flexibility? Can you keep seven receivers if that seventh receiver is also technically your third running back? Right? That's how you end up keeping someone on the roster. And if they think there's some special packages, then sure, why not? I still take a lot of this with a grain of salt, even this camp in general, but this early in camp.
Yeah.
You got to get the pads on, man.
Got to
get the pads on.
A preseason game.
Right, and Friday, pads are on. We can start to get a little bit more insight on certain things on Friday, but really, preseason game, are they lining up Tony a ton in the backfield? Also, is Andy Reid going to show that in preseason? And then all of a sudden they open up on Thursday night and he's in the backfield. I don't want to overblow it, though, because, Cody, even if he is lining up in the backfield, what is it, like two snaps a game? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, probably.
He's not going to be on the field all that much.
No, he's still the third running back. Yeah. They only hand the ball off so many times. I don't know how many times we've talked about that as their offense in general. So, yeah, I understand the general notion that is – how many snaps are we actually talking about here?
And it can't be, but, you know, you also, though, don't want to have a clear tell to the defense. I mean, if Kadarius Toney is not great at pass protection, and I would assume the answer is no, given his size, then it has to be kind of the specialty trick, you know, formation trick plays. Like, you're not going to have Mahomes, unless it's a quick pass, Mahomes drop back and I think Toney's picking up a blitzer.
No, he's got to be going out on a route.
So it's kind of, you know, is he a decoy, or is it too obvious that when he's on the field in the backfield, well, then they're going to be giving him the football?
I'll be honest. Somebody did the work for us and did like a supercut on Twitter of every single time he took a handoff for the Chiefs. It's pretty effective. even when he's already been back there, they must know,
like,
that it's somewhat
speed option
coming.
Or something.
I think what it is, I honestly think what their temptation is, it's not just the normal stuff, which is he's a freak athlete. What they miss, what they've missed as a team for years, over the last couple of years, is breakaway speed, right? We know that. That's why they went after Hollywood Brown. That's why they drafted Xavier Worthy, etc. At running back, it's also what they don't have. That is not what Pacheco or Clyde Edwards-Helaire do. Clyde, for the longest part of his career, still had a hard time getting to, like, the edge. So that, like, breakaway, game-changing, oops, maybe one block gets missed, whatever, right? One thing goes your way, and that 5-yard run could be a 30-yard run every once in a while if you just were fast. And I think maybe that's what they're banking on.
Well, there's no McKinnon, so that's the speed you're talking about a little bit. He brought that, but remember, Jerick McKinnon was one of the best pass-blocking running backs in the NFL. And McKinnon was the number 2 back, not the number 3 back, so I understand that. I guess at times maybe he was the 3 last year, but really was the 2.
I thought they were just like the shared 2 with different jobs,
right.
McKinnon and Clyde, if that makes sense.
And so, yes, maybe from the passing game out of the backfield, can Tony fill a McKinnon role? I guess, but you're not really going to trust him to pass protect, and I think that's a little bit of a problem. They're not wasting reps. They're not just throwing him back there for the hell of it, so they clearly think there's some role,
yeah.
And they want to see it play out. I also, as I said yesterday, think for him being focused and locked in and consistently getting touches, even in practice like this, is good considering the issues last year with simply doing the basics.
Yeah, I think it's
including cool. Lining up properly.
I also just think, yeah, God, oh, so many mistakes. The lining up properly. I mean, he ruined one of the coolest plays in Chiefs history. I'm still kind of mad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to hold it against him because he didn't do it on purpose. That was one of the coolest plays I've ever seen. And I've told you, I don't think penalties should be allowed on super cool things anyway. That stands league-wide, by the way. Like when that Miami Dolphins offensive lineman did like a cartwheel into the end zone. That should have counted too because it was cool.
Yeah.
Not because it was technically illegal touching or whatever nonsense they dinged him on moving forward. He couldn't progress the ball for whatever it was. But I do think it is more likely now than it was even 2 weeks ago that they keep a 7th wide receiver because the same problems that exist with Xavier Worthy. Not that he's hurt. But, Gold, we had said this. I think we talked about this in minicamp where I told you I am not going to over-ask Xavier Worthy to, like, matter really early on in the sense that I'll let him slow walk into the season a little bit. He missed all of off-season training camp. All I keep hearing from people is how important that's been over the years and how that's affected the development of guys like Willie Gay and others in getting up to speed by the time the season started. Now, in addition to that, he's going to miss, like, the whole first week of training camp? And I know it's not the first.
If he's back Friday and it's the first padded practice, okay. As long as he doesn't start missing some of the padded practices. But look, we've had
strep. And he can't have to get strep. I'm not like
we've had strep before. I mean, you feel like crap for a couple days. And imagine then also trying to go out into the heat and run and be effective. So tomorrow's already a built-in off day, so they steal another day there.
Yeah.
Friday, my guess is
everyone else.
My guess is Friday he's back. I mean, then I would start to wonder a little more, but. Look, it's not a hamstring injury, as we said yesterday. So
no, but it all slows his development
it
a
does.
Little bit, right?
It does.
That's 3 less practices they were planning on him getting that he already hasn't got.
No, that's more than fair. That's more than fair when we talk about how to judge him. We're here at St. Joe, or in St. Joe, at Chiefs Training Camp, I should say, when our coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up a little bit later in the 11 o'clock hour today after practice, we're expected to be joined by Mike Pinnell, Chiefs veteran defensive lineman. Been with the team, not with the team, back with the team. Got
he's
a couple
a
rings to his name.
Yeah,
yeah, like he's been part of that. So he's going to join us exclusively here. We're also expected to hear from Hollywood Brown and Joshua Williams. Hollywood Brown, number 2 wide receiver for this team behind Rashee Rice. Their primary deep threat, though, and we'll be interested to hear from him and how camp is going, what he's seeing from the rest of the group. And Joshua Williams, who, while Spags said the other day that the competition is wide open for the number 2 corner spot with Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, and Nazee Johnson. I think going into camp, you would say Joshua Williams has a little bit of the leg up, but we'll
sure.
see. So we're going to hear from Joshua Williams about all of that. We'll also mix in some Royals here in about a half hour as they, of course, were in action last night. And another change at the top of the lineup. Trade deadline is less than a week away in Major League Baseball, so we'll get to that in about a half hour. The one thing we noticed from camp across the NFL today, and I don't know why we don't see this here, did you see the video of Browns camp, or at least at their stadium? They are having their security team practice chasing a fan that runs on the field. We know at least once a season there's going to be some drunk idiot that decides to run on a football field.
Every time.
And it's always interesting to see the security team try to chase down the fan, right? They don't show it on TV because they don't want to glamorize or whatever. But
glamorize running on a field. But okay.
But you know what I'm saying. No, that's why they don't show it.
I mean, their fear is also like, what if something actually bad happened?
Well, you know? I don't think they show it on the broadcast because they don't want someone getting on national television just because they're an idiot.
Sure.
But anyway, bring it up. They're practicing this. I'm here to tell you I can volunteer yourself too. I'm willing to offer our services if needed. If the chief security team needs to practice having two idiots run on the field, we can do that.
Let him know that Alex is a paid actor now. So really, he's actually like, you're getting professional level work.
That's right.
At this point.
I can fake run onto the field.
But have you been paid officially?
I officially got my check yesterday.
Wow. Yep. What are you going to spend it on? You should blow it. I'm just going to tell you right now, don't just put it in your checking account.
I already did.
But like, blow it on something. Put it on like one parlay. That should be freebie money. You should treat that like it doesn't exist.
So, technically, can I act like I essentially did pay for it already? Let's just say the Xbox I got basically was paid for acting.
Mm.
Can I? That's my logic.
I guess.
You're asking me to go buy something else I don't need.
Yeah. You should go get a couple of new games for the
Xbox. I don't
know.
I just need my NCAA football. We're going to talk about the tournament in a second.
An extra controller or something.
I have two already. I don't need, you know what I mean? Like, I did do mobile deposit, though, other than convenience, because I'm like, oh, I want to keep this, you know? My first acting check, you know?
Yeah.
In the last, probably.
Do you think it'll be your last acting check?
So.
That's the real question.
Probably. How many movies are being filmed in Kansas City?
I don't know. Now I'm on, like, the page for that casting group.
Yeah.
So now I see everyone. So they're open casting call.
I mean, I'm open. You know, I'm open. Commercials, whatever you need me to do.
I haven't been in a TV. Maybe we, you know, with our radio advertisement thing, every once in a while people on radio end up in a
That's
TV
right.
commercial. You never know.
Yes, I did. I did get the acting check. The check, even in the memo, says touchdown Kansas City or whatever the name of the whole movie is. The full title and holiday touchdown Kansas City.
It's supposed to come out the week before Thanksgiving. Just assume this show's going to do something fun.
We're going to have to do a watch party or something.
I think maybe a bingo card for the things we're going to see in the movie with prizes involved. I'm really open to ideas. So if you've got some 913-586-7610, but obviously we're going to do something with this. Including, like we said, maybe working with someone local or having our own individuals.
I do think the last day of camp up here, the chief security staff, we know one of the members of the security staff, good listener, good friend of the show, he should allow us to help their security team for future Chiefs games. Allow us, once practice is over, one of us, both of us run on the field and they have to hunt us down. You know? We'll get it on video. It's a win-win. We're trying to make sure that all levels of the organization are championship caliber.
Yeah, and that includes security.
That's right.
So, yes, I am. Over on Twitch, someone said, hey, wait, is Gold willing to get tackled? I think he just volunteered.
No, for this, because it's a training. They're not going to destroy you in this training exercise, you know?
No, but they're going to take you down.
Oh, sure, that's fine.
You know, they're going to take you down. You want an elbow
guard? With all due respect to the security staff, it's not like it's, you know, Chris Jones hunting me down here, you know?
No, I didn't.
Now that, you would die.
Maybe
would
my die. Second or third. I don't know. It was really, really early on in covering training camps, and I probably covered like 10 now. Really early on. I had asked the PR staff at the time if we could do a video series in which I got in full pads, and I think it was specifically Chris Jones, and I get tackled by Chris Jones, just one tackle, and they looked me so dead in the eye, Alex, and just said, you might die.
Oh, I think it's,
like,
true.
Like, we can't do that. What if you die? And they weren't like, it wasn't like being a joke or trying to be like, ha, ha, ha. They were being serious. Like, we can't risk your death over one tackle from Chris Jones. And while I don't think it would kill me, it could.
Someone says they have tasers. No. Have you ever seen a security staff on a football field stop the guy by tasering him? They don't use that on the field, to Cody's point, because there's the risk of somebody having like a heart attack or something. So no, they just chase them down. We've all seen it. They chase them down and tackle them. They don't use tasers on the field. Could you imagine if the guy
there was
just
one taser video though, man, when that guy's getting zapped in the back? Did you not see that photo?
Yeah, but not one from the guy running on the field.
No, it was the guy running. Oh,
it was it?
Yeah, different sport though.
Oh, not an NFL game.
I think it was a soccer match. I think it was Copa.
Okay, that might be a little different. That's run by an international body. They also let people storm the gates to get in the stadium, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I think it was – Drew, you remember that. Was that Copa?
If it was in Europe, it doesn't count.
I believe
it was
a foreign soccer match, but I don't know what tournament
it was. If it was a foreign country, it doesn't count. I'm talking about how they do things here in the United States of America.
What happens if you get cleaned out, though? Like if you're running one way and you don't see somebody coming from the side and you just get decked.
That's part of it.
That's part of the training, dude. You might get blindsided.
Yeah, I think this is an exercise that needs to happen at training camp at some point. So we'll let you guys know.
Oh, no. It was a Phillies fan.
Oh, Philadelphia.
It was a Reds fan. This is the one I was thinking of. Sorry. This is the one I was thinking of. Look at this dude just getting absolutely. Hold on.
This was on the baseball diamond.
Look at that guy just getting absolutely fried.
Oh, that. Look at the serious look. That, okay, he did. Baseball. I've never seen that football, but baseball. They weren't messing around.
Yeah,
it was some young kid, and they're like, no. Okay.
We were talking a little
bit. I stand corrected. Okay.
We were talking about, at the beginning of the show, a little bit Xavier Worthy and why I told you I think it's more likely than not that maybe they'll keep 7 wide receivers now because of that. The only thing that might have me reverse that and say that it might be 6 is, I'll be honest, I have talked to who I can talk to. I have read up on national reports. I have simply just looked at court dates and all the research I can do. I don't think Rashee Rice is getting suspended this year, Gold. I think that is a 2025 problem. I do not think it will be resolved by week one against the Ravens this year. I think it is going to be legally long enough that at this point I'm anticipating that being a next year issue, which is great news for a team that's a back-to-back
Super Bowl champion.
And gives them a full year to develop like Xavier Worthy and these other guys. I honestly am fully at the point now that I am not expecting. Like, I'm not going to come on the show and be like, when are they doing the Rashee Rice thing? I don't think it's till next year. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I hope that's the case. I think you will see a strong reaction from, you know, fan bases around the league, and they'll say the NFL is setting things up for the Chiefs. We'll hear all that annoying crap if, in fact, he doesn't. I told you, my thing was there should be a deadline where the league has to tell you. I don't want to repeat myself again, but basically,
whether it's this year or next
year. Middle of August, if you're going to suspend someone for more than 4 games, you need to notify the team by then. We heard from Clark Hunt a couple days ago.
Said he hadn't heard anything.
He said they hadn't had any communication. I want to reference this from the draft. This was Ian Rappaport on draft coverage back at the end of April. He said, quote, as you guys laid out, the offense without Rashee Rice there, what we don't know is whether or not he'd be eligible to start the season. This really depends on how quickly the legal process plays out. If his case is, and he's been charged with, I believe, 6 charges, if his case wraps up, then there is potential that the NFL could issue its discipline and he would likely be suspended. If the case is still ongoing, it is, as we've seen with several others, it likely he'd be eligible to play this season. Discipline would be handled the following season. So the timing is really an issue, not whether or not he'll actually be suspended. Everybody agrees he's getting suspended at some point. But the timing,
yeah.
The timing is the question. And the longer this drags out over the next couple weeks, the better.
From the criminal honestly. Case perspective, there is not currently even a court date set. The court date you're aware of in December, that's the civil case.
Yeah, not the criminal case.
So, like, if you've looked up and you're like, where's his court date? The only one that's currently on the docket right now is a civil case in December. So, like, at this point, and I've told you, and I agree with you in this sense, let's just say the criminal case got on the docket for December and got all solved. You can't go suspending people in January because their criminal case went that way. You just got to suspend them at the beginning of the 2025 season and move on with your life and everything.
As long as the only fear I have with this, as long as you know that the league's not doing anything until next year, because the worst thing is suddenly something develops, Cody, and it's December, and like, oh, right before the playoffs.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That,
you should that, not.
That,
that's just an unfair way
that,
to
that
operate.
Can't happen.
Like, because I'll just be honest with you. Let's just say you were going to give him a 4-game regular season suspension for the activity off the field. Well, then it should be 1 playoff game. Should we be ranking these? They have a completely different value, do they not?
Sure.
Like, a significantly different value. And so, like, you're going to suspend him, what, for the final 2 regular season games and the first 2 in the postseason? Those aren't the same. And I've never really seen the league do that. I've seen them do what they did to, like, Frank Clark, where they, like, suspend you in the middle of the year. I've seen them, like, Charles Amit, I've seen them give suspensions that didn't start the year, but were in the middle of the year. I've seen them at the beginning of the year. I haven't seen them start in December. And I think part of the reason why is, from a legal standing standpoint, and you know this because you've, like, studied this stuff too, from a legal standing standpoint, a player has a very good reason to say, I don't want to be in court in November. I don't want to be in court in December. It affects my ability to have my job. And it's just like, hit me up in mid-February. You know, like, a lot of times these things get pushed a little bit and the league gets pushed a little bit, and I think it's a little bit different. But no, I don't know if you're at the same, but I'm officially at the point where I just don't expect it to happen before next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like 90% chance it doesn't happen. I think it's definitely above 50% chance now that he doesn't get suspended, just because we're already at camp. Here we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every single day close to the season that we don't hear anything, duh,
more
becomes
likely.
More likely that he doesn't. But I don't. I, you know, things can change in a hurry, but I get why you're thinking that way, because especially after Clark Hunt's comments, and then you hear from Rappaport, you start to just see where things are at in the legal process. And, yeah, for the Chiefs' sake, it would be great news if he's not suspended until next year. I mean, selfishly, of course, and other fan bases, as I said, they'll all get all up in arms about it. They'll claim the league is setting it up for the Chiefs and all the crap that we heard last year, like anything. That's just what happens when you win a lot. People get annoyed with you.
Yeah. Of course, and that's going to be the case. We waited long enough, probably, to discuss the college football.
Yeah, we had a ton of fun last night, thanks to our listeners that came out to Level Up. How cool of a setup is that?
That's
Level
a really Up. Cool setup, yeah.
They did a great job with it. They were super cool. They had the Red Zone channel. Some of you maybe caught the stream of it. Congrats to Joe Summers, our listener. He won the whole thing.
I watched him have to get an onside kick to survive the first game.
He had two overtimes on his way to victory in the championship game, in which he kicked a game-winning field goal. Both the guys were playing as Alabama. Was it Arthur or that you played in round
Arthur.
One? He was the runner-up.
Oh, wow. He so was
the guy you played in round one was the runner-up.
It was 17-6 in the fourth quarter. I didn't get completely washed.
He lost by 2 points as Joe hit a field goal. So congrats to Joe. Congrats to everybody that participated. We had a ton of fun. I got to say, there were like 5 or 7 of you that just didn't show up. What's up with that? You qualified. You didn't even show up for the tournament.
That's
people got free buys. Carrington got a free buy in the second round because somebody didn't show up. Not somebody. 7 people or whatever it was didn't show up. But awesome time. You did get bounced in round one.
I did.
I think a much more respectable showing than you let on.
Well, I mean, it was, I was.
What like, was the final score?
It was, I don't know, like the final score was worse because
all right.
I went 17-6, I went for 2 because I was like, I got to get every point I can get. And then there were only 2 minutes left in the game, so like I went for an onside kick and I didn't get that and he scored pretty quick and then I threw a pick. You know, like,
so you,
I was just like desperation mode.
Did you end up getting mercy ruled or you get to finish the game?
No,
finish the game. Well, then that's all right. Drew was, Drew, I'll just tell you, man.
I sucked.
Might be the most disappointing performance of the entire tournament. All the talk, the intro yesterday to choosing your team.
I didn't say that I was good at the game.
God, you got worked.
Singing the fight song as Auburn, you didn't score a single point.
I did not say that I was good at the game one time. I am passionate about the school that I chose. I chose, out of everybody, I chose the worst team out of everybody that picked a team, and I know I get to pick a team. But I was not going to be that person that chose a top 10 team or Colorado or anything like that. I knew I was going to probably lose in the first game. I'm just disappointed I didn't get to score a point.
I was stunned. I thought you were going to be competitive in that game.
So I'll give you credit, Alex. You went with Kansas for both your games.
Yeah, I won in round one against Sean. Really nice guy. He was Mizzou, so we have KUMU. He did get mercy ruled in the fourth quarter, unfortunately. It was not as competitive. Round two, really good contest. The guy I played did not have to play in round one. Joe, listener Joe, congrats to him. He beat me. He was Texas. Brutal loss, I'll just be honest. Brutal. Devastating.
Okay, I'm gonna as an outside observer, you did not handle the end of that game well. From both a play perspective and I'll just be honest, I could tell you were pissed.
I got up, I said
you were like, you seemed competitive. You were hot, dude. I think if you went back and watched that video, you would see the pensive, pissed off look see on your face.
Oh, that was, I lost with 10 seconds to go in the game. Yeah. But you acted like I was an ass. I shook his hand, I said, good game.
And then you left for like 5.5 minutes.
We didn't see you again. I went to the bathroom and I came back out and you were still there. And then you left. I hung around. So actually, who was more pissed? I hung around for 2 hours.
Oh, I wasn't pissed about that.
If I was
Speck
so pissed.
Hey, if you need to get out of here. And I was like, yes, that sounds fine.
No, 10 seconds. He got an 80-yard touchdown bomb as Texas, his receiver, way faster than my corner, and he won.
So I think what got you at the end of this game, by the way, which is worth describing, here's what happens. Guy scores a 70-yard touchdown and Alex like 2.5 minutes to go. With like 1.5 minutes to go, Alex is about to have a long touchdown himself. He goes down at the 5 and he says, you know I'm going to make you use your timeouts, bro. That's how you said it.
Yep.
That was pretty close. Then Alex gets stopped on 4th and goal from the half-yard line.
Yep.
It appears game is over.
Yep.
Then his guy fumbles a quarterback sneak.
I score a touchdown.
Alex scores a touchdown.
I'm up 4 with 17 seconds
left. And then with 14 after the kick return or whatever, with 14 seconds left in the game, he scores another 70-yard touchdown.
Yes.
On some long touchdown pass from Texas wide receiver.
That's right.
I don't know who it was. So it was I imagine it was the most brutal into a game that existed in the tournament. But you see, that's the most competitive I've seen you be for something. Not that you're not competitive, but that's the most competitive I've seen you be for something. I could see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
I want you to attack dating like this. I want you spreadsheets.
All of that to come back to this.
I want scripted 10 plays. I want, you know, I want this kind of
thing. Honestly, the only comment that actually, if you want to know actually, the only comment that where everything flipped for being more competitive, there was one play I ran. So I was running bubble screens. One play I ran, and because he started to bite up, I said, let me get him on a fake bubble screen. So I do a bubble screen and a pass off the bubble screen. Devin Neal was wide open. I lob it up. Everybody thinks it's a touchdown. Devin Neal drops it. And Joe, the listener, he starts yelling. He's like, that's so cheese, bro. That's so cheese, which is code for you're using a play that automatically works over and over. I ran the play one time. So that's when I flipped the switch and started to be more competitive.
You thought he was like, oh, is that what that
he
means?
He called
that's
me out.
Cheese?
Yeah, wow. He called me out, even though I ran the play one time in the game. So that's when all of a sudden I said, all right, well, then I'm going to run the clock out.
You did hit the nail on the head yesterday that Specs odds are normally wrong. I think they were wrong again because
he's no good at handicapping.
Rob was the favorite, yeah. And I was as well.
Rob but got we, mercy we had, ruled in the first
yeah.
game, didn't but he?
We, yeah, he did. Carrington.
Rob did score, though.
Carrington went one round further, but he also didn't have to play in round two. So, I don't know. We basically...
He lost to the eventual champ.
Yeah. So, it was fun. We had a ton of fun.
It was.
Someone already
very
messaged
cool
and said they want to do it again next year. I'm like, I think so. Yeah. Someone says the Texas receiver Boyd, beast on the game. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I don't know.
Yes, he is.
It's Texas, he was very man. Open, despite yeah. the deep coverage that Gold was running. He was yeah. still all by himself. Also, they make it seem like Quinn Ewers can throw the ball 90 yards in the air.
That's the game,
that
though.
Ball was
That's
80
game,
yards
though.
In air.
That's the game, though, you know? But, yeah, the people everybody thought was going to win did not win. There was one guy, I think he drove from Manhattan. Preston was his name. He was Ohio State. He beat Rob in round one, and then the guy I lost to in round two... They played each other round three or whatever that was. And the guy I lost to destroyed Preston in his game. Everybody thought that guy was going to win the whole tournament.
Yeah, me too.
So anyway, thanks for coming out. And if you qualify next year, please show up. Please show up.
Actually, you're permanently banned if you qualified this year and didn't show up. I banned you.
We have your names if you didn't show up. You're stuck as Kennesaw State next year if you get in.
Okay? You get in.
You're stuck as Kennesaw
State. Delaware.
If you can win one game,
true.
You can choose a real team.
Watching the tournament, I think we all did learn, though, as much as you want to rep your school, and Carrington – did not rep Missouri in the first round.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
He was Texas. I think the move is, as much as it sucks, you got to be one of the three best schools. Look who made it to the finals, Alabama and Ohio State.
Well, there was one point, I think it was Rob, or somebody said that they went back and they looked at all four of the TVs, and there was an Ohio State-Texas matchup in three of the games. That's not fun. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
That's
I hear
not
you.
Fun.
But, look, I get
you
the goal.
You should be able to pick one team, and, yeah. Okay.
The goal's to win
also,
the tourney, so I get it.
In Quick the championship. Note. It was Alabama against Alabama.
Yeah.
And that was allowed.
Say, Cody?
Before we go to break, quick note from practice. Justin Watson did go down kind of weird a little bit.
Okay.
During the 7-on-7, he was helped to the sideline. He's now walking up the hill of the cart. He's walking up the hill. Remember, back of the cart, front of the, you know, walking
that's
in front
a big
of the
deal.
Cart.
Walking
He's
is much
walking
better.
In front of the cart, but he went down a little bit awkwardly. Justin Watson's day is probably done at practice.
Okay, hopefully that's something pretty minor. There we know Joshua Williams, who's battling with Jalen Watson and Nazi Johnson for the number two corner job, but hopefully it's just something
or
pretty
Justin
minor.
Or Justin Watson, sorry, not Jalen.
You said Justin, I'm sorry.
Justin Watson.
Not Jalen, let's get that correct. Justin Watson
the wide
is the
receiver.
Injured
yes.
player. Sorry, I heard Jalen, that's
no,
my
okay.
fault. Justin Watson. Still don't like hearing that either way. He's someone that if Rice were to miss some games that you would think would factor in. So we'll keep an eye on that. Reminder, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we're expected to hear from Joshua Williams and Hollywood Brown, plus Mike Pinnell going to join us on set here from training camp as we are broadcasting live from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. Up next, though, let's get into the Royals a little bit. Their game last night against the Diamondbacks, and the leadoff spot is getting more and more interesting and might tell us what they should do next week. Back here in St. Joe, Chiefs training camp continues. Today's practice expected to go a little longer than the one we had on Monday, so it should take us past the 11 o'clock hour, into the 11 o'clock hour, I should say, for practice wrapping up, which means maybe going to hear from Hollywood Brown, Mike Pinnell, Joshua Williams closer to 11:30, but you never know. I'll also hopefully get an update on the status of Justin Watson. As Cody mentioned before we went to break, he did head up the hill in the
front
of the cart, which that's...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Always a better sign than the back of the cart. If you've been at camp enough, you know that whole deal. So hopefully something really minor. And it was during a 7-on-7 deal. He went down awkwardly on a sliding catch. So who knows? Don't want to speculate. But
I just watched Brian Cook. Like, you know how like athletes, professionals, they're obviously better athletes than most normal people.
Yes.
He went and like the ball kind of landed and they kind of deflected. And Brian Cook was like, rather than just get up the normal way, he, like, reverse flipped himself, like, on his feet from the back of his head, just, like, with no big, just to stand up. Rather than just stand up normal, he's essentially just, like, throwing his entire body in the air backwards and then just landing on his feet and then just jog down there. You're like, this is ridiculous. I do not understand. Sometimes you forget just how much better they are at everything you do. What do we got? Carson Wentz on the field now? Yeah, we got the backups. Yeah. We don't need to give you a play-by-play of what Carson. Let's see it. Is it a dime? Oh, boy. Pressure's on.
They handed it off to Clyde.
Weak.
So, yeah.
Get some work in.
Hey, you know what? It's actually, as we found out through these playoff runs, it's actually pretty important. We'll get to some comments from a Chiefs rival in just a couple minutes, but let's talk about Royals baseball this week. Homestand continues. Unfortunately, they do fall last night. Alec Marsh gave up, five runs yesterday. Offense struggled as well. The D-backs get them, so the next game to decide the series later on this evening at Kauffman Stadium. When you look at the lineup, guess who was leading off? We were going to talk about this anyway before with Adam Frazier leading off. It was Garrett Hampson yesterday. With all due respect to both of them, doesn't that speak to perhaps how aggressive they should be in the next week? Who else can lead off? Beginning of the season was Michael Garcia. That just hasn't worked out the way everybody hoped, and so they made that change. I still think on the roster, if they're not going to make a move, I would like him to get back in a spot where he's able to be the leadoff man again.
Same.
But right now it's Frazier and Hampson, and like, let's be real, is that a leadoff guy for a playoff team?
Look, and this is not even meant to be, like, I think sometimes people take this as like, for what they've been asked to do, they've done a perfectly fine job. This team is 10 games over 500 for a reason. Stone pays for 88, 89 wins even after the loss last night. They're still in a playoff spot. They're still doing a nice job overall, right? But a playoff team can't really operate with Frazier or Hampson as your leadoff guy. I've seen the suggestion of, like, what if you do Renfro in there and then maybe have some of the other hitters behind? Do you move everyone up in the order? Because there certainly are teams that would just hit a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. in leadoff.
I don't know if you want to mess with Bobby behind.
And I don't
Vinny.
Either. The way those two, the Bobby, Vinny, Salvi combo seems not worth messing around with. But I just don't think fundamentally, if you're looking at the rest of the way, that is something that makes sense. I just think it proves that they got to go after a bat. And look, does it have to be Jazz Chisholm? No, it doesn't have to be the kind of guy that you're like, That's a leadoff.
The only reason why he
I just
fits,
want an improvement off of the options that are there now. But Jazz Chisholm does fit. I would be fine with
he fits because he can play infield and outfield. And so you just have the roster flexibility. But also I think there's going to be other teams, Phillies and Mariners maybe, or who are going to be interested. And then who knows how long Julio Rodriguez is going to be out for the Mariners. He just went on the IL yesterday, one of the best players in baseball. And so that's a big loss. Does that mean they think they got to be more aggressive? How does that impact that?
Or they'd be less aggressive, you know, because there'll be some teams that just don't buy.
Right, I think with the pitching staff the Mariners have, they'd be foolish not to be a little aggressive. But yeah, what are the Royals do? I still tend to lean into another bullpen arm is what I would prefer over the need to go get a bat. But what's realistic, knowing there are so many teams that are in this thing still, and let's just be real about the teams that are in it. You've got big markets, and it seems like the Yankees, the Orioles have a much better farm system right now than the Royals. They have more. I mean, the Orioles, if they wanted to, they could trade Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect in baseball, and go get whoever you.
Technically, they've got one of the better records in the American League, and he's not even.
And they have a log jam. They have a bit of a log jam because
they've
had such a great job producing out of their farm system, and so you don't have some opportunities. So they just have more to give up, and they're also already in first place in their division. You know, Corbin Burns, who's been great for them, he's probably not back with the Orioles next year. So they're unlike the Royals, where we talk about how aggressive, like most of the Royals team is back next year. Most. Michael Wacha, maybe not. Who knows? He has that option.
But Lugo will have the second year. So that
right. Whereas the Orioles, like Corbin Burns, who's been one of the best pitchers in baseball, he's probably signing somewhere else in the offseason.
I asked the question earlier in the year, and I think the answer was obvious then, which was bullpen arm. But now that they've signed one, they've traded for one. Not a bunch, but they've traded for one. Although I still feel like, I know I was off during that time, they gave up a lot for that. So, like, they were definitely not the cheap, they were definitely the highest bidder for his services at the time that I was on vacation. But if I asked you right now, they could add one bat who they think can hit leadoff. Maybe it's not Jazz Chisholm, right?
Yeah.
Or a bullpen arm. What are you going with this time around?
It's still bullpen. Now, names, I'll be honest, I would never have mentioned Hunter Harvey if we were doing names.
No, so but I don't know the name of every good bullpen arm for everybody.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, I would have been, Finnegan would have been the name out of Washington that I would have thought of.
Like somebody asked about Brent Rooker. The A's stink. He's been with the organization, and he's got like 25 home
runs. I'd be intrigued by that name more so than a Tommy Pham type. He's also going to cost more than a Tommy Pham type.
Yeah, but you know, one player you had just mentioned, which is an interesting one, you had just mentioned Jackson Holliday.
Mm-hmm.
What would stop the Royals from doing that same thing with MJ? If you traded for a corner outfielder,
okay,
what would stop them from doing the same thing? Was like, here's a player with control that you can turn around your way, and we're going to use your outfielder for a year or two, and then we're going to solve our problems down the road. We're going to get better now. You could maybe get everything out of MJ we haven't gotten yet. Like, I know he's a little injured right now, but like I'm just saying, like they might have that kind of big league flexibility depending on the position.
Right, in terms of could they trade him, sure. Now, I know you're not making the – in terms of what you can get back for him, though, not even the same at all.
Oh, no. Right? I just meant as far as, like, if you don't think you have the horses in
gotcha.
The lineup.
Okay, because I'm like, obviously Jackson Holliday is bringing back way more.
Jackson Holliday is the number one prospect in baseball earlier this year. So I'm not saying it's
– You're just talking about to clear the deck a little bit,
yes.
If you will. I hear you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's an option. The problem is he's not going to be probably back before the deadline. Like, don't you need him to be back in health? He can't be on the IL.
Not if you're trading with a bad team that has long-term.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You're trading the A's. The A's don't need MJ back in the next 11 days. They need MJ back for the next 2.5-3 years he's under contract.
Yeah.
The next 11 days are not important to them. It's not a long-term injury. It's not a serious thing, right? So, like, it doesn't – like, I think in that case, no. Like, in some cases, I think you're right, but I think in that – and the
question
and
is,
hypothetical I'm offering you now.
Are they as an organization at that point where – I know fans are, to a certain extent. Are they at the point where they're willing to move on from someone like Melendez to bring in Brent Rooker? And I right now I would lean and say I don't think they're ready to do that.
Especially a guy they've already had in their system. Brent Rooker's just a name that people have brought up. He was with them.
I would rather them go get a bullpen arm, a Jason Adam, who's down, a former Royal as well,
yeah.
Who's down with the Rays, to see with some options. The White Sox closer, Michael Kopich or
Kopech.
Whatever. Kopech, yeah.
Former...
Mahomes.
Texas high school
friend,
teammate,
or
friend?
Teammate, whatever.
I don't remember if they were teammates or when it gets.
That's
job.
Where I'm more interested in bullpen arm. But next Tuesday's the deadline, and you know maybe we'll get somebody on nationally next week to give us some perspective. You're going to hear
Should
more.
Should JJ
noise.
Join us on Tuesday?
He's scheduled to Tuesday. My guess
a little behind
is
behind the scenes. Should we not get him on the day that he needs to be making trades?
My guess is we'll end up with him the day after, but you never know. Yeah, he normally Tuesday's the day. I don't know if he's busy. He's going to be mid interview and the phone's ringing. Got to take this call, guys.
Yeah, sorry. That would be awesome, actually. That would be sweet. Look, but you got to call us back and tell us what they were offering.
Yeah.
Just tell us real quick, what were they offering? Is it or is a deal going to get done? You can tell us later.
Yeah.
But do you think that one's going to happen? Or
30 minutes after he's on with us today, and that's a massive trade. Like, hey, call back in, please.
Hey, hold on, call back. Give us 5 minutes on call the back. Trade, please. We're begging.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that it does speak a little bit to it. We're up here at camp, as you had mentioned, a little bit of a cheer, a miss. Was it another deep pass? That's been kind of the theme of camp, hasn't it? Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball
when
deep.
They're not pads
he's
on,
throwing it deep now. He just hit in stride.
Ball that's Wiley, Jared Wiley.
Did he hold on to it?
He did.
Man, Jared
Wiley
catch. Down the sideline,
great catch.
Too.
Yeah, Jared
that
Wiley.
That was a great catch. And good touch. The coverage was pretty good.
Kelsey all fired up going up to him after that catch. That was really impressive.
Mahomes coming all the way down the field to give him a high five, too.
Yeah, that was a nice connection. Again, no pads. Right?
Keep an eye on the Chiefs' social media channels for that one later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that one's definitely going to show up.
Jared Wiley. That's a name that everybody
likes. I already told you how I feel about Jared Wiley. I've made my thoughts known.
No, I it's not that I'm not high on him. I just think there's still, even if all goes well this year, there's still limited production. I'm excited about if he shows enough this year that then, you know, a year from now, what's his production look like? We know they use three tight ends. Like, he's going to get on the field. I think Drew's guy, Irv Smith, the former Bengals, probably not going to make the team.
I told you.
Well, I don't think we were, like, jacked.
I told you he's
not good. It made it sound like Gold and I came on the air. We're like, Irv Smith.
No, I'm just saying, I told you from the get-go, he's not good. So this is no surprise.
Did not end well there in Cincinnati, and they didn't even have good tight ends outside of that, so that can't
correct.
Be a good sign. But what comes with camp comes with hype, and we understand that, not just the Jared Wiley thing. Yesterday, the first media, and I want to make this very clear, media depth chart came out.
PR
which
depth chart.
They do not, PR, they do not consult the coaching staff at all. Every year, there are multiple players that are just wrong. Honest to God, I wouldn't be surprised if the PR staff sits around there and be like, wouldn't it be fun if we did this?
They're having a few beers and they're just like,
yeah,
you know,
crack a couple and they're like, let's mess with the media today or let's mess with Alex as another deep pass just got completed and a backflip to boot, at least on that end. Another one.
I think
that
he's
one not
much further down the depth chart.
That one was
nice
Carson catch Wentz.
Yeah, it's Wentz to, like, Washington. Who the hell is that? I don't know. Anyway.
And so when you – it was a great pass, though. But when you look at, like, the – like, I bet they crack a couple beers, clink a glass, and they're like, let's see if we can get people to talk about Denarik Prince today. Because that's what happened yesterday. If you were paying attention on social media, on the main Chiefs aggregate sites, you probably saw a couple of little write-ups on Denarik Prince listed as running back, too. Is that where they got – let me break down the running back group very simple for you. It is ride or die with Pacheco. They don't have enough talent anywhere else at that position to cover for Pacheco. They need him to stay healthy. He is important to their offense. He was maybe their third most important offensive player last year. They need him to stay healthy for the running back group to really matter. Pacheco is the only guy talented enough to be a true running back one on this roster. I hope Denarik Prince gets a couple of carries here or there. Clyde has proven to be a serviceable backup. I don't want either of those guys in a full-time position. I hope that we never have to see it this year.
Well, Prince was the name, as you were saying, last year at camp. I mean, he was the name that everybody was excited about. A year ago, we just did this. And everybody's, man, he's really flashing. And after, what was it, the first week of practice, then he suddenly was no longer getting any of the top reps. And everybody's like, what happened? Did he get in the doghouse? What was going on? It was weird. All of a sudden, just went out. They just didn't utilize him. And so now, a year later, things can change. Could he still be back in the number three running back? But here we are. We're talking at camp. We're talking about the number three running back. That tells you once again, not to downplay the entirety of camp, but that tells you where this organization, where this team is at as a three-peat. There is very few starting jobs up for grabs. Number two corner and, just a little bit, maybe the number three wide receiver.
I don't think backup running back is a battle.
Yeah, it's just,
I think it is Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
So do I. And the question is, Prince and Tony, do they work in as a number three running back? If so, I don't want to say who cares, but we're talking about such limited snaps, Cody. And you're right. If they were to, like, if we were to be here at camp and suddenly Pacheco had an injury that was going to cause him to miss games, maybe they would go with Clyde a little bit, but I bet you they would explore the veteran free agent market all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Honestly, 100% they would, man. Because, like, regular, formerly decent running backs are available, and you would take your chances that maybe, and look, maybe they just give the job to Clyde Gold and try to figure it out from there. I can't say for sure, but it's like they might go that route. But again, it's just like we're getting hyped up on Denarik the way it was Justin Ross. I'll tell you this. He might become the social media darling. Do not let the Chiefs – and look, the Chiefs social media team does a great job. I just told you, pay attention on their account later. You will probably see a great catch down the sideline and a great pass from Patrick Mahomes to Jared Wiley. or you might see a backflip from Washington later on. Those clips will eventually go, and they do a great job. But they're not who's deciding who the best players on the field are. Do you remember any clips got sent out of Justin Ross last year? Do you remember? You know why?
Of course, because we do. We joked about it all year.
A social media team's job is to get clicks. So if you are all interested in Denaric Prince, they'll show you all the Denaric Prince you want. What I'm telling you is this entire running back crew is ride or die with one man. It is Isaiah. It is a one-man wrecking crew. The other guys add depth. They're fine for second, third, running backs, whatever, gold. But they're not the level or talent of player of him. Denaric Prince, if he were going to have emerged, he would have done it last year, and here's why. They were desperate for any kind of offense. If they thought Denaric Prince could be a breakout offensive player, even in five snaps, they'd have given him to a man. Last year, if you were a breakout player last year, Gold, you would have broken through. What were they waiting on? They couldn't score for
right.
half
Yeah, they were willing
season.
To try anything. I mean, yeah. As you said, they brought back Mecole Hardman and all. They tried everything. And
yeah, they were looking.
Tony was still getting on the field despite all these mistakes.
They were looking.
For a period of time.
They'd have found a way to use you if they thought you were a breakout player. And again, it's not a knock on Denaric.
No.
I'm sure he probably is the third running back on this team. He'll get some snaps as a result of that, and I'm sure he'll do a serviceable job in that case. But it's Pacheco's job.
Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Camps happening all across the NFL. The NFL Top 100 list starting to come out as well. And, you know, with that, they always have some clips, interviews with different players around the league to get their perspective on their answer, like who the number one player in the league is, who the number one quarterback in the league is, and Ja'Marr Chase once again proven he just can't stand Kansas City. Listen to this. He was asked who the number one quarterback is in the league.
And who's the number one player
on the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that guy's name. He's good. He's amazing. He's good. Not gonna lie. I'm salty, though. I'm a little salty. 2 years in a row. But I'm putting Burrow first.
You wonder why the rankings...
He's lying to himself.
You wonder why the rankings get so screwed up.
Lying to
because
himself.
You have players like that, Cody, that know that it's not the right answer, and they're like, I'm still putting my guy first because they don't want to embarrass their quarterback. And Joe Burrow's obviously great, too. Ja'Marr Chase, super petty. Super. He missed. He's salty. Super petty. That clip right there is Cincinnati in a nutshell. They know the Chiefs are the best, and they obviously can't stand it. They're salty. He's the best quarterback, best player in the league, and he won't even say his name. Think about how
For
much the Chiefs are in the head of it.
Won't even say his name. Look, Ja'Marr Chase in that clip admitted that Patrick Mahomes is better than Joe Burrow.
He did.
Listen to
he
him.
Did.
He said, I'm putting Joe Burrow first. He didn't say he's better. Mm. He didn't say he's number one. He said, I give credit where credit's due. I'm just not saying the man's name. He knows that the number one player in the league is not the quarterback on his damn team.
So petty.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
So petty.
Mahomes would say someone's name. He wouldn't be afraid.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild. If you think, I mean, one, that's why the Chiefs-Bengals rivalry has been fun, because it's the one team that actually is willing to admit that they don't like him. You know, some of these other teams, like Josh Allen, like, oh, we got a ton of respect for them.
We're playing celebrity golf terms. No, they hate each other.
Cincinnati and Kansas, they don't like each other whatsoever, and that's fun. And if Joe Burrow's actually healthy this year, then there's a good chance they're going to play in the playoffs. The Week 2 game, it'll be salty, but whatever. It's a regular season game.
Sure.
It's the postseason if they actually play again. That's when the tensions rise.
Chris Jones and Travis Kelce like Joe.
Because they don't have to hate anybody. They're too good.
I'm just saying. Joe Burrow has said on record that everything goes through the Chiefs. Like, Joe is the one guy, I don't know, he doesn't.
But we're not talking about Joe here. We're talking about Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr.
Correct.
Ja'Marr Chase running his mouth.
Ja'Marr Chase is villain number one, going back to the Pat Who and now this
tuna
as well.
In a can.
Yeah.
He can't
look,
stand
Mahomes
because he knows that's the guy that's going to prevent him from ever getting a ring. That's correct. What it is. That's what it is.
He had to be worried about his
Well, the Rams prevented him, technically, because he's not going to get a ring.
Well, they still, but he may not get back to us, so you got to capitalize while you're there.
Correct. I'm just saying that it hasn't been only Mahomes that's prohibited him.
No, but, like, that's the way you view it. Because I'll be honest, that's the way the league should view it.
Oh, from here on out,
because the truth is, if Mahomes was 5% less good or 10% less, whatever, right? If he was Josh Allen-level talented or Joe Burrow-level talented, they probably don't have 3 Super Bowl rings. They probably have 1 or 2, which means somebody else gets in their gold, somebody else gets their chance, somebody else gets a ring. But because of how great he is, he stops you. Other teams do. The whole team redoes. I get it. But the singular biggest reason, the largest piece of the pie, other teams aren't getting a chance to win a Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes. He's the reason. And Jamar, God, he didn't. He's doing the NFL 100 video. He's like, I'm not saying his
play the first 15.
Credit where credit's due.
Play,
doing,
the, first
10
seconds. Play the first 10 seconds of that again, please.
I got to pull it back in 1 second.
Okay. We can play it later. That's fine.
All right. No. Okay. I got it.
And who is the number one player
on the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I mean, like, it's just you. Jamar, I just won't even say his name. I can't even say
that is
Patrick
that is
Mahomes.
Ultimate saltiness is when you won't even, like, recognize him. Like, you won't even say his name, for sure. I can't wait until week 2. It's going to be – that game shouldn't be on the CBS afternoon. It should be Sunday Night Football is what it should be. But
I mean, sure. But you know how that is. Like, yes. CBS afternoon now has become basically as prime as it gets, too. But, yes.
I don't know, Jim. That's
fun.
What we're going to get 80 times.
Of course.
But
are you going to go? Are you going? You didn't go to this Chiefs-Bengals last year because you didn't want to see Browning.
I have a meeting with the boss today. I'm going to see if there's a way that we can maybe into the I might be able to get a couple tickets because they're I might be pressed out, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah,
nosebleed in the triple digits, triple digits. So yeah, that's a
what are they?
As in, starts with a 3. What's the number start with? Okay,
it starts with a 3 for nosebleeds.
I was like triple digits. That's not bad.
So after fees, you're talking about $400 a ticket for the crappy.
Well,
seat.
Then if you include the parking, that apparently is egregious. Then egregiously expensive. Then
you got
I'm talking
carpool, baby.
$500. I might honestly Ubering there might be the move. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's not.
I don't know what it's gonna cost, but
just reach out to your guy Joe. You and Joe are close. Just reach out to Joe and see what he can do.
All I got to do is bleach my hair like about 85% of white males, 25 to 35,
Joe,
are doing in Cincinnati.
Kansas City, I
wear the same outfit.
You.
Wear the same outfit that he did in that photo yesterday. Bleach the hair and send it and tag him and see if he responds.
I don't think he will respond.
You don't think so?
No.
You never know. Every once in a while, they respond to people. You can't be sure.
Jamar might respond.
Someone says the Chiefs social media team should then, when they play the Bengals in week 2, should have Mahomes walking in to some Destiny's Child, say my name, and since Jamar Chase won't say it, that would be hilarious.
Look, I will say this. Jamar does keep giving Patrick Mahomes chances to absolutely dunk on him on social media, because if he beats him in week 2, the post is the final score that says, my name is Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't, you know, boom, done, I wrote it for you.
It's easy.
Problem solved. We all put a little fire emoji when we reshare. I mean, it's just like
so someone from the text line from the 816 is correct in this. Hey, Drew, who lives rent-free in their head now? The Chiefs live pretty rent-free in Jamar Chase's head.
But Chase,
they are rent-free. Yeah. It is rent-free in Jamar Chase's head, yes.
We are broadcasting live from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. Practice still going on. It should for another 20 minutes or so based off of the schedule that they have out there. And then we'll be joined by Mike Pinnell. You're going to hear from Hollywood Brown and Joshua Williams. But up next, mentioning the three-peat, the pressure that comes with that. More and more questions are going to come throughout the season. And one player that the Chiefs almost signed, does it tell us good things about another member of the Chiefs defense? We'll get to that next here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.